God is so good. God is so good and so awesome. And one of the things that we're talking about today are these expectations. And sometimes we make up expectations in our own minds, what we would like, but they have nothing really to do with God's plan is. And then others, there are genuine, real expectations. So as a parent, there are expectations that you are going to love and provide and care and nurture your child. Those are genuine expectations, and they should be met. And when they're not met, there's a problem. When you go to the doctor, there is an expectation that he is going to help you get better. That is normally why. So there's this expectation, and most people would say that's a genuine expectation. When you send your kids to school, there is this expectation that your teachers are going to teach the children. That's a valid expectation. And so today we are actually talking about, well, what happens when people don't meet valid expectations? Like, I have a job description and I signed off on my job description. So that means the expectation is that I'm going to fulfill my job description. That's how those sorts of things work. And so if I failed to meet my job description that I signed off of, then there's this like, that happens in my spirit, in somebody else's spirit. And last week we talked specifically about forgiveness, because unmet expectations, when they are genuine, need a rendering, like they need to come together, and that's often done through forgiveness. And so that's specifically what I want to talk about this week. So last week, I'm going to sum up a little bit of what we talked about last week. And we started with this quote, which goes like this. Primates, mountain gorillas, and chimps often follow confrontations with friendly behavior like embracing or kissing. Similar behavior has been observed in non-primates like goats and hyenas. The only species that has so far failed to show outward signs of reconciliation is... cats. Look at this. See, for some of you who weren't here last week, it's funny. And for those of you who were, you're like, it's still funny because it's true. It is so true. So this is Grumpy Cat. And he's actually going to be traveling with us throughout the sermon today. We're going to have a conversation with the Grumpy Cat about forgiveness. So if you see him show up throughout, he's going to be asking some questions. And because he has some questions about forgiveness. And we're going to see if we can change his face. All right, so Peter asked a question about forgiveness, and it goes like this. And then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? And Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. And so Peter thought that he was being generous, remember? Like, generous in being seven times about forgiving his brother or sister that had sinned against him. But Jesus totally took Peter's generosity and exploded it, saying that, no, we are to forgive an infinite amount. And then he goes on to tell a story of why we should be forgiving up to an infinite amount of forgiveness towards people. And so to forgive, just as a reminder, means to send away or release or to remit, to cancel the debt. So when someone sins against you, there is a debt that needs to be paid. And so to forgive means that you release them from the debt. Next. So there are two sides to forgiveness. Your need to be forgiven. And then your need to forgive others. And so last week, we talked specifically about our need to be forgiven and how God has forgiven us of so much. And so the scripture goes like this. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents, or roughly like $1.2 billion, was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. So we asked the question last week, how does this apply to us? How does this story apply to us? And all you have to do is flip over to the New Testament, to the story, to the book of Romans, which Paul the Apostle wrote. I hear it's probably going to be a good movie, so please go see it and support it. But he wrote about how the fact that it says everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard, yet God, so this is Romans 3, 23 and 24, yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus, whom, when he freed us from the penalty of our sin. So we all have sinned. Paul goes on to say that there is no one righteous, no, not one. We've all sinned. And there's no grading scale with God. There are no sins that are greater than one, or one sin is greater than the other. Sin is sin. It separates us from God. And yet in God's mercy, he gave Jesus to pay the debt that we owed. And our sin has been completely forgiven. The debt has been paid. And so when we come to, like, well, how actually do I receive God's forgiveness? And Louise and I were talking a little bit back and forth this week about forgiveness, because she texted me a question during service. But don't worry, I had my phone off, and my phone is down there this time. So if you all want to text me, it's down there, so I can't get it. But I'll read it after service. And we were having this conversation about forgiveness. And the thing is, God freely forgives everyone. It is this gift. But a gift is not truly received until you take it in your hands and receive it, open it, unpack it, and get it for yourself. And so God, through Christ, has forgiven every single person, but it's not yours until you receive the gift. And you receive the gift like this. Number one, you actually admit that you've sinned. Like, you need to admit, every single person needs to admit that they have sinned. Number two is they need to act, or they need to confess your sins. So it's one thing to say, oh yeah, I've sinned, but it's something totally different to actually confess your sins. And then thirdly, we need to accept God's forgiveness, to truly believe that God has forgiven us. And I went to see the movie I Can Only Imagine yesterday. And go see it. Take Kleenex, all right? And if you forget, just go into the bathroom when you get there, clean and use toilet paper, because you're going to cry. Just go prepared to cry, because the dad at one point says, I can forgive others, but I don't understand how God can forgive me, because he looked at his life and what he had done to his family, and he couldn't believe how God could forgive him. And that's probably one of the hardest things for people to look at in their life, is how could God possibly forgive the yuck that I have committed. So to truly receive God's forgiveness is an act of our will. And it doesn't mean that you have to have it all figured out. It's a gift. I once received the gift of a car, and I couldn't believe that I was receiving a brand new car. And I'm like, are you sure you want to do this? And my parents said, yes, we're sure. And I'm like, but it's so, I'm not worthy. Like, this is so expensive. And they said, no, it's a gift. And it's hard to receive a big gift when we feel so unworthy. And yet God, in his graciousness through Jesus Christ, gives us forgiveness. But we need to receive it. Because the thing is, my parents gave me that car, but it could have sat in my driveway. I could have said, oh, yeah, I have it. And, well, why are you walking? Well, I don't really want to use it. I'm not worthy enough to use the car. Like, that just sounds silly. But that is what happens when God has forgiven us all of our sins, and yet we don't appropriate that forgiveness in our own lives, because it is that forgiveness that helps us to forgive others. It's that forgiveness that helps us to forgive others. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, is our need to forgive others. And so Mr. Grumpy Cat says this, when life gives you lemons, freeze them and throw them as hard as you can at other people making your life difficult. Oh, Mr. Grumpy Cat. Mr. Grumpy Cat. But isn't that true? Isn't that often what we want to do? You know, when life throws you lemons, make lemonade. Grumpy Cat is actually saying what most of us want to do is freeze the lemons and throw them at people. But we know that that's not necessarily the right thing to do. And so Jesus tells that whole story in Matthew 18. He says this second part. So once we have received this forgiveness, then this is what we're supposed to do. It says, but when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, which is about $11,000. All right? So you see the difference. It's still a significant chunk of money. Like, you could buy a used car for $11,000. Like, $11,000 is significant. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. And some commentators say it's because he hadn't fully understood what he had been forgiven from. So that made it impossible for him to extend the forgiveness to his fellow servant. And ultimately, God's forgiveness of our sins should motivate us to forgive those who offend or hurt us, who sin against us. We are to forgive others of their offenses against us because God has forgiven our offenses against him. We're to forgive because God has forgiven us. And it's interesting, I went through every passage in the Bible this week of what it talks about forgiveness. And that concept, because we have been forgiven, we need to forgive others, or forgive others in order that we should be forgiven, comes up over and over and over again. Because it ruins relationships when we don't forgive. And so we're going to keep talking about that, because Grumpy Cat has a question. He's like, well, what if I don't want to forgive? It's a genuine question. Well, what if I don't want to forgive? Well, what's interesting is, well, if you don't want to forgive, then this happens. You will sentence yourself to prison. A prison filled with bitterness, anger, resentment, sickness, broken relationships, misery, separated from God. Because it's interesting, the master said, you will be tormented until you can pay the debt. When we choose not to forgive those who have sinned against us, these things happen, and Scripture backs it up. It says bitterness rots the bone. Bitterness rots our physical selves. And so, I've experienced, if you are not hearing from the Lord, it could be a forgiveness issue. And often when I'm not hearing from the Lord, I'll say, Lord, is there someone that I need to forgive? Doop, name drops. Oh. Whenever we choose not to forgive someone, this genuinely happens in people's life. And we have met people who you see the unforgiveness on their face and the way they stand. And there's been studies done to prove that unforgiveness actually weighs people down. They're hunched. They don't physically react as well as they could because of unforgiveness. So you literally sentence yourself to your own prison. Well, then Grumpy Cat says this, well, I don't think I can forgive those people. So he's understanding the concept. Well, I understand what you're asking me to do and that I'm sentencing myself to prison, but I don't think I can actually forgive those people. And the answer is, well, no, we can't. I had a conversation with my pastor's cabinet, and one of the gentlemen shared, he's like, I worked with this person, and they had sinned against me. And it was hard to forgive them, and I couldn't forgive them, and I couldn't forgive them, and I couldn't forgive them, and it was not good. And then he shared that with a friend of his, and his friend agreed with him. Well, yeah, you can't forgive them. You need Jesus to help you. And as soon as he said, Dear Lord Jesus, I need your help to forgive this person. Would you help me? He said it was like, wow, it's gone. The anger, the bitterness, the resentment was gone. Because we can't forgive people on our own. We have to forgive people with the strength of Jesus. Because Jesus understands. He has been through everything that we have been through. And if you're not sure, then it looks like this. The cross. And around the cross, Jesus has experienced annihilation at his birth. He's been misunderstood. He's been discarded. He's been rejected. He's been criticized. He's been betrayed. He's been called a liar. He's been unsupported. He's been deserted, arrested, falsely accused, judged unfairly, interrogated, hated, denied, ridiculed, verbally abused, physically abused, condemned, mocked, humiliated, and crucified. Jesus has been all of those things. And yet he hung on the cross and he said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. So in the midst of all of these things happening to Jesus, he still hung on the cross and said, Father, forgive them. And I know as I listed off some of those things, some of those things you've experienced. You've been physically abused or ridiculed or mocked or rejected or abandoned. And you start to wonder if you could ever truly have the fullness that God offers. And it comes with forgiveness. Because often people hurt us and they don't know what they're doing. And we need to make a willful choice to forgive them. So Grumpy Cat says this, well, do I have to forgive everyone? Because I could forgive a few people, but I don't know if I could forgive everyone. And the answer is yes. Yes, you need to forgive everyone, whether it's in your family. So a parent has let you down or a sibling has done something against you, you need to forgive them. Or a friend. Maybe you have been betrayed by a friend or let down or abandoned in a time of need. Or maybe it was a teacher, a teacher who spoke words of ridicule over you and you've carried those words your entire life. Or maybe it was a doctor or a church. I've heard that happens a lot, where people in church hurt people in church, or a pastor hurts their people. And so maybe there's a pastor, or a lay leader, or a fellow believer that you need to forgive because of something they've said or done against you. Or maybe it's a doctor, where you just didn't receive the care, or they've said, pronounced diagnosis over you that weren't incorrect, or they haven't cared for you the way that they should. That can bring a lot of frustration and anger. And not all doctors are like that. Not all dentists, not all teachers, not all. But as a result of those things, we can project them onto every other teacher. We can project them onto every other doctor. We can project them onto every other family member because we carry that stuff with us. Because unforgiveness means we hold things in our hands and we take them with us. Or maybe you need to forgive yourself. Maybe you have done something Like, you can forgive everybody else, but you can't forgive yourself. And God says, I can help you. I can help you forgive your dad. I can help you forgive your best friend. I can help you forgive that teacher that you had in grade 2. I can help you to forgive that doctor or that dentist or that healthcare provider. I can help you forgive that pastor who said those awful, awful things to you. And I can help you forgive yourself. So Grumpy Cat still has a few questions. He says, well, what about, like, shouldn't I wait until they ask for forgiveness? And the answer is no. We forgive because God tells us to forgive, not because they've asked us for forgiveness. We just forgive. The second question is, well, does forgiveness equal forgetting? We are not God. Only God forgets our sins. But it does mean that, so it is not forgetting or the elimination of consequences. Forgiveness is a willful choice to give up our rights to judge the person, and we allow God to be the judge. Romans 12 talks about that. It says, revenge is mine, says the Lord. Let him deal with it. Let him deal with making things right. Luke says, do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. We don't actually know how to judge things correctly. That's why God says, let me judge. Let me make things right. Let me look after the helping you forgive part. Let me do things. So often we think we need to fix it, but it's like God's right there, and he says, no. Let me help you. Let me make things right. God has the best ledger book for keeping track on things, and he knows when things have been dealt with. We don't really know. We need Jesus. And so Grumpy Cat says, okay, I've heard it. Now how do I do it? So forgiveness goes like this. It says, dear Jesus, with your help, I choose as an act of my will to forgive for and release them into your hands to deal with. Their offense against me made me to feel whatever. Rejected, abandoned, frustrated, alone, worthless. You know how it made you feel. Forgive me for holding on to the unforgiveness towards the person, and thank you for your Holy Spirit who will help, comfort, and guide me through this process of healing. Amen. So you hold the key. Like we said at the beginning, unforgiveness is a prison that you create, but you hold the key. The image looks like this. So the man is inside the prison holding the key. He's holding the key. At any point in time, he can get up and leave the room because he holds the key. God's already given him everything that he needs, but he's holding the key. He holds the key. We hold the key to forgiving those who have hurt us. And it's interesting that it's communion this morning because it's a time to remember. Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of my love and my sacrifice and my forgiveness. Remember what I've done for you so that then you can go out and share my love with others, so that you can go out and serve others, so that you can go and forgive others. And the question is there anyone that you need to forgive? And I remember sitting at a conference and the man was talking about forgiveness and he asks that. And I was thinking, I was good all the way through. I was good. I'm like, wow, this is like really good stuff. I could teach this. This is solid. This is solid stuff. And so I'm like, I'm good. I don't have anyone I need to forgive. And then he asked that question. And he's like, okay, we're going to be quiet for a moment. I'm like, I'm going to pray for other people. I'm good. And this is how the Lord's sneaky sometimes. And as I, like, literally closed my eyes and began to say, Lord, how should I pray for other people? Boom, he dropped a memory in my mind, and the tears just started falling. And I realized that as a wee child, my mom had said something against me, not on purpose, because as I said before, people, when they sin against us, don't often know what they're doing, but she said something, and it went right into my little three-year-old heart. And it separated me from my mom to the point of I couldn't really understand why I didn't like my mom. I just didn't. And I didn't know why. I just liked my dad more. Well, isn't that interesting that in that moment when I thought, no, all is well with the world, the Lord drops this memory and he says, you need to forgive your mom for those words. Okay. And I forgave her as an act of my will. I said, Lord, I choose as an act of my will to forgive my mom for those words that she said. I know she didn't know what she was doing, but as a three-year-old who receives words from a mom, they go right in. And so I forgave my mom. And that began this wonderful journey of healing and forgiveness to the point that I love my mom. And I want to be with my mom, but it took forgiving again and again and again and again, because forgiveness is a journey. Because all of a sudden I had to change the way I needed to think about my mom, and I needed to give her to the Lord every day. Lord, help me to love my mom the way you want me to love my mom. I had never prayed that before because I wasn't willing to pray but that because I wasn't in a state of forgiveness. But when we choose not to forgive, we actually miss out on the things that God has for us. So we need to choose to forgive. And this is the best part of the story. So mom's up here last year for Mother's Day. We go on a trip up to Christian Island for a drive because we like to go for drives. And I'm driving along and she's like, I listened to Corrie Ten Boom last week. I'm like, oh yeah. She's like, well, she forgave a lot. She forgave the soldier who treated them very poorly in the prison camp. And as I listened to that, I realized that I needed to forgive the people in my life. And I turned to my mom and I'm like, I'm driving, so I'm trying really hard to pay attention to the road. I'm just like, can you repeat what you just said? And she said, I realized how much she had forgiven. And so I needed to forgive the people in my life. And she started telling me in her life the hurts that she had had. And how she chose to forgive. And the peace she was experiencing. And what's interesting is when we share our story of forgiveness, it blesses other people. All right? The movie Yesterday happened because God forgave the dad. And the son was able to forgive the dad. And so we have this song called I Can Only Imagine that we all have heard because somebody chose to share their forgiveness story. Because forgiveness does that. That's the story of Easter, that we have been forgiven so much that then we have to go and forgive others what they have done against us, so that we can experience all that God has for us. And the cool thing is, I have watched my mom grow in her relationship with God, and she's known God her entire life, and she's old. I'm so sorry for those of you that are the same age as my mom, but like, in relative to me, she's old. And she's actively growing in her relationship with the Lord because she's choosing to forgive and do what God is asking her to do. And she's old. And I say that because some of you are thinking it's too late for me. It's not. Deal with your junk. Forgive people. Forgive the bully that hurt you in grade 2. Let it go. Give it to God. Forgive your parent for leaving again and again and again. And I know I say that so glibly, but I say it because I know that Jesus can help us. And when we claim the power of Jesus in our life to forgive, then we will see miraculous things happen in our lives, in our relationships, at work, at school, wherever we're at, because we're willing to surrender those things to Jesus. And so we have this thing called communion. And I remember the one time we were having communion, not here at a different church, and I made a willful choice not to take communion because I was at odds with one of the pastors I worked with. And I said, I can't take communion. You're not to eat unworthily of the body. And so I didn't, because I couldn't forgive. All that communion sucked, because I wasn't willing to forgive. And communion is open to all people who actively confess that Jesus is the Son of God. They believe the Nicene or the Apostles' Creed, which is what we read today. They're actively serving God. Then communion is available to you. But communion is also available to those that prayed that prayer today, right? They admit that you have sinned, confess them, and then receive God's forgiveness. If you did that for the first time today, then you can receive communion. But, church, hear me. If you are a believer who is at odds with people, then I would encourage you to forgive or to not take communion this morning. Because it says we are not to eat unworthily, lest we have sickness amongst us. Church. Or if you are a non-believer, that means you haven't quite chosen to follow God yet. It's not quite time. Then we would just say, no problem. Remain in your seat. So the way this is going to work this morning is a little bit different because we need to give you an opportunity to respond. And so you have your yellow sheet. You have that picture of the person on the front that says, I will forgive. And on the back has that prayer. And it has a space because maybe you need to write some names down. And then you need to come up and you need to throw them in the garbage, as if signifying that you have released those people to God. So you're going to take some, we're going to take some time if there's people that you need to write their names down on. Then you will come up the middle. If you have something, you can put it in the garbage. The prayer rails are available because maybe you actually need to spend some time with the Lord. So if you want to come and kneel, then you can. And the communion servers are actually going to be at the far ends. So you can by step one, step two, and go straight to step three if you want to. That's fine, because maybe you genuinely have no one to... You have a short account. Bible says, as much as it depends on you, be at peace with one another. And you're claiming that verse. You get a gold star this morning. Go right to step three. All right? But if you need to experience forgiveness of others or of God, you need to write something down on the piece of paper and drop it in here, and you need to get some stuff right with the Lord, then it's here. Then it's here. Because that's why we do church together. Because sometimes we need to see somebody else kneeling before we just need that togetherness. We do life together. We need to see someone else drop it in. So if God is laying it on your heart that there's someone that you need to forgive, but you're like, oh, I don't think I... Do it for the person beside you who needs to see that this is real. And it is real. The number of times I've made forgiveness lists, because until we go home to be with Jesus, people will hurt you. They will offend you. They will upset you. You will do things that need forgiveness. And we are to keep a short account. So I'm going to ask Kim and the team if they would come and play. And during this song, ask the Lord, is there anyone I need to forgive?